Shireen Zaman. I'm the current director of the Rise Together Fund, and I have been doing this role for almost 6 years.
Hi, it's so nice to see you, Shireen. I'm Dimple Abichandani. I'm the executive director of the General Service Foundation, and I'm the former director of the Security and Rights Collaborative, which is now the Rise Together Fund.
So the Rise Together Fund is a donor collaborative that started under Dimple's leadership 10 years ago to fund and support Muslim, Arab, and South Asian communities around the country. Our key goals are around supporting federal and local policy change, building collaborative relationships across the field, and expanding strategic communications for our communities.
This effort was launched in 2008 by two founding sort of donor partners, the Open Society Institute and Atlantic Philanthropies. And it was, at that time, it was part of a broader campaign that those two foundations were a part of that they called the National Security and Human Rights Campaign. And it was really the kind of initial goal of it was to take advantage of what people anticipated would be this big opportunity offered by the transition at the federal level, which was the Obama administration coming in. And at the time of its founding, there were actually four different kind of buckets of issues that the campaign was going to work on. And in the early days, the idea was that actually the pooled fund at the time would work on all four of those. But within the first 6 months, we made a decision to really focus most of our efforts around supporting Muslim, Arab, and South Asian organizations, in part because as we looked around at philanthropy, no one else was doing that. I would say that was the important thing that happened in the first 6 months was this decision we made to essentially take 75% of the work that we had committed to do. We sort of said, you know what? That is work that Atlantic and OSF and others are already doing. And our value add can really be focusing on communities. And some of that actually was informed by the financial crisis, right? So I was hired in October of 2008. And, you know, within a couple of weeks, like Lehman happened. And in December of 2008, we all woke up to news about the Madoff scandal. The Picower Foundation, I think, was one of our kind of prospects at the time. They like disappeared overnight. You know, most of the funders on our prospect list, they were like literally shutting down their human rights programs. Like, I mean, it's hard to even kind of describe if you were not in philanthropy at that time, but like entire programs were just disappearing. There were no tie-off grants. It was just kind of like the money is gone. There was definitely this moment where what a lot of people were saying to Proteus is, why this issue? You know, like this is not kind of a key issue. Why this issue? So I think the way that Proteus made the most of that crisis moment was we used it as a moment to get very clear about where we could have the most meaningful impact. And that was actually in supporting frontline grassroots organizations. And I will say, I guess I'll say one more thing. When we said to our partners, you know, you're already funding surveillance, you're already funding torture, you're not funding Muslim, Arab, South Asian organizations, so we'll do that. At the moment that we articulated that, I would say at Proteus, we also made a commitment to ourselves that we were going to change that. That was like from the founding, that was always a goal that we're going to fund these organizations and we're going to fund them in a way that positions them to get long-term sustainable support from progressive foundations overall. And I think to me, this is how it connects up to Piper, but like Proteus's willingness and track record for not just working on like the sexy issue of the day, but actually working on the issues that are core to our democracy when others are not, like that is what allows for the building of some base level of infrastructure so that when the issue heats up and all of a sudden other funders are looking around saying, oh my gosh, how do we fund Muslim organizations? There's actually a way to do it. There's like some capacity that's been built. There's expertise. So in addition to doing the focus on Muslim Arab South Asian organizations, we agreed to one other key piece of work, which was the building out of a shared communications hub. I would say that was, I mean, that was really a piece of like a groundbreaking piece of work, because what we collectively invested in was something that had not been done before. We supported shared infrastructure that in its first year was used by 110 different organizations in the field. And you know, what I think what people often don't realize is what we built off of an investment that had been made in another Proteus project. You know, we invested that this hub that we created at Rethink Media. The reason we knew Rethink Media is because of work that they had been supported to do with Dini and the Kolom Foundation. And, you know, I wanted to share that because I think it's one of the sort of like inside Proteus stories that people don't often sort of, you can't see from the outside, but the way in which the work in one area kind of influences and gets built upon and innovated upon in other kind of Proteus programs is really, I think, an asset. So we, you know, took these partners that had been, you know, Dini had worked with and built this hub over, I would say, in the, you know, the first three, it took like two to three years to really build out all the different capacities, at which point the Piper Fund got really interested in doing the same. And now there's been lots of similar models and lots of other funders who've invested in it. But I think it was really important that like the set of democracy funders were able to come in and learn from this model that we had built in this space. Lastly, I would say the other kind of like key thing in those first 5 years was an investment that we made with Rockwood Leadership Institute. And this was inspired in part by seeing how isolated the grassroots part of the field was from essentially the more resourced parts of the field. And there was a, you know, there was a not very subtle dynamic where the grassroots organizations, grassroots leaders were sort of perceived of as essentially clients. Like, you know, they were not seen as strategy leaders. They were not given like full voice at, and full space at the table. And the way that we wanted to sort of address this through a funding strategy was by investing in this three-year initiative with the Rockwood Institute, where basically people spent, you know, both we prioritized MASA leaders, but then we brought in leaders from other parts of the field, from national organizations, and had people spend a year in this program, both developing their individual leadership, but actually developing that connective tissue in a field. And we saw some amazing collaborations come out of that. And I would say we saw grassroots voices elevated as a result of that. So I think at the time that Shireen came in, I mean, I think that her coming into the role was the best thing that could happen for the fund. I mean, she was like the leader for the moment. She was, she came from being a grantee. And so she sort of really understood the work of the fund and brought all of her tremendous leadership skills to it, and was there at exactly that moment when philanthropy needed the Rise Together Fund to exist.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. It's always great for me to hear you talk about the work, because I feel like I learn a little something new every time I hear it. So thank you for that. So, I mean, I have to say, like, the work that Dimple and others at Proteus did to sort of lay the groundwork for what's now become the Rise Together Fund, you know, as Dimple was saying, we were built for the moment that happened in 2016, when I think a lot of others in philanthropy woke up to this idea that we should have been funding Muslim and Arab and South Asian and impacted communities. And, you know, how do we do that? And how do we learn about how to do that? Well, we were there to help them. And it was years of building relationships with funders who we hoped would fund us, but never quite could do it. that started, you know, with Dimple's hard work and then continued, you know, through the first few years that I was there. But all of that time and investment really paid off. And, you know, I think just picking up on some of the themes that Dimple mentioned, we really did, you know, when I came into this role, I think it was an important time to continue that reframing of our work and to really build on the success that had already happened. So we were in a position when I came in that, you know, some of the national MASA organizations were starting to get direct funding from actually the funders that were at our table. We were beginning to see some traction from some of those groups and on some of the policy issues that we had invested in. And so we were in a good position to really sort of take a step back and look at our strategy and think about what's the value add that we provide to the field right now. So I think one was really trying to understand who our grantees were and how they do their work. So we did this really important survey to look at what kind of organizations do our grantees partner with? What kind of movements do they see themselves invested in? How do they talk about their work? And the things that came back to us were really clear that actually, in some ways, the only times they talked about national security was when they were writing their grant proposals to us. What they were doing on the ground was civic engagement work, was intersectional organizing, was racial justice, was immigrant rights work. So we really kind of pulled back a bit from the national security framing in our work. And of course, after a few years, we've been able to evolve that into sort of a reframing of our name as well. But we also then began to think about how do we more deliberately fund that intersectional work, that racial justice organizing work, and really lift that up as one of our strategies. So one of the ways we did that is to actually shift our focus to look more at local and regional work. One, because those national organizations were getting some substantial funding, and we knew that we wanted to sort of extend the impact and the leadership of the field. And two, because as a collaborative or an intermediary donor, we knew that that was our biggest value add. So the kind of hands-on grant making that we do, the real sort of investment in programming and technical assistance was going to be of most benefit to those kind of up-and-coming organizations. So during the sort of 2016 election cycle and then immediately right after, for a good part of that time, I was actually the only staff person that was staffing SRC. So it was really critical to me that other people at Proteus really stepped up to help me in that moment when I needed it. You know, it was this moment, like I said, where we were frankly getting inundated with requests to say like, hey, we want to support, we want to be involved, we want to learn. And, you know, I was fielding calls from both potential donors to us, but just donors who wanted to be helpful in the field. And we were also dealing with a completely traumatized set of grantees and field leaders and trying to figure out the best way we could support them, kind of not just with our grant dollars, but with the other things that they might need to be supported in this moment. So I think a couple of things that we built right away were opportunities for them to increase their own safety and security, because that was like one of the most immediate needs that we heard. So both kind of addressing any vulnerabilities within their organizational stature, but also thinking about things like physical and digital security. And that's an investment that we're continuing to make. We were in a position within, I would say, 6 or 8 months of the election where we had actually doubled the number of donor partners that we had and increased our funding quite significantly. And because of that, we were able to expand the number of grantees. So we actually doubled our grantees between 2016 and 2017. And so we're able to support a whole new set of exciting, innovative work that was happening all over the country in places like Alabama and Georgia and South Dakota that we, you know, might have never even learned about had we not gotten that increased capacity. And those places have now become models of organizing for other work in our field. I think one of the things that has been, you know, inspiring to me is really seeing how at a time when our leaders in our field are, you know, frankly, like most vulnerable, they have become most powerful. They're really in a way that, you know, certainly in the years I've been working in this field, you know, have seen the leadership and visibility and the voice of our field really stand up and stand out and really be true partners to other racial justice or immigrant rights organizations. And I think a lot of that has to do with the sustained support that we've been able to give. And of course, you know, the environment in which not only were funders waking up to the sort of need to hear and elevate these communities, but I think the general progressive movement and other folks too. So I think had it not been for media training, communications training that we had invested in over the years, we might not have seen our field leaders being in the position that they were in.
It's so exciting to hear all of that. and I want to pick up on this last point that you made about sort of, I guess the way I would frame it is like, this work takes time, right? And when we give it time, I think oftentimes like what we can do is like far beyond what we would have even imagined. To Proteus's credit, I think that's something that like institutionally, Proteus knows that and has that experience of sort of having successful donor collaboratives over time, like as administrations change, as political context changes, as kind of the buzzwords, what's sexy and philanthropy changes. Like I think philanthropy, you know, I think Proteus has that experience. And it's interesting for me now on, well, I'll say two things. So one is, you know, when the SRC was started, it was a 3-year commitment. And we began the conversation 1 year in with our funders saying, there's actually not, you know, we're doing great. We're doing really great work. But if we could get out of this mindset of like, we need to be done in 3 years, it would actually open up space for us to do so much more. Sort of for me, a personal legacy of my time at Proteus is that I deeply believe in the power of donor collaboratives. I deeply, deeply know and believe that we can actually do bolder work together. So we're in 10 donor collaboratives right now. And the conversation that I hear coming up often is this conversation about timeframes. I think the work of the Rise Together Fund, it's like, to me, it's a case study in what happens when we sort of remove those kind of artificial timelines, right? And remove that kind of, okay, well, we're going to collaborate, but it's going to be for this like really narrow period of time. Because I think that, you know, I think it's really important to have goals, but then I think these goals that we have for this kind of work, they are long-term in nature, right? I mean, we're going to make progress towards racial justice. We're not actually going to achieve it in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years. But if we give ourselves that 10 years, then, you know, like everything you just said, Shireen, it's amazing to see what can be accomplished.
I think that's so interesting and important. And again, I think another value of a collaborative like ours is that we can take the time to build the relationships to make the work more successful. And we have, I mean, ideally, and now I think we finally actually do have the capacity to be able to do it well. Learning to move slowly and build buy-in. Although we move quickly, I think compared to others in philanthropy, we actually also take our time to like do the work of laying the ground in order to make some of this programming in particular more successful. And I think that's been a really important part of our, both how we operate in this space, but also how we have been able, I think, to be quite effective. Dimple and I have now known each other, I think, for like 9 years. And I often tell the story of the grant that I got from the SRC when I'm introducing myself, because I was a new executive director at a small but ambitious think tank that was focused on the American Muslim community. And I basically cold called Proteus Fund. And I first spoke to Dini actually at Cologne. And she was like, I don't think your project is a good fit for me, but let me connect you to my colleague Dimple, who took my call. And, you know, we talked about the work of ISPU. We chatted about a couple of different things. And I clearly remember this, Dimple, because we were all about to wrap up the call. And I was like, oh, yeah, like we also want to do this thing about civic engagement. And something or the other. And you were like, that's the thing that we want to support. And we have a docket deadline in like 2 weeks. Can you send in a proposal? And I was like, sure, like I'll do it. So, you sent me the link. I quickly wrote this proposal. I don't know that I told you this at the time, but that was the first foundation grant that I got as a new executive director in that role.
I didn't know that.
And so it was super important to me, right? One, to prove my credibility to the board that just hired me and the community that I was now trying to move forward, but also then to prove the credibility of the organization to other funders. So, you know, just that initial, like, okay, we made this phone call, I had this phone call, put in the grant application, and a few months later, there was, you know, my first check coming from Proteus. And then a couple of months, maybe, or a few weeks after we got the grant, Dimple came to DC and visited me in my very modest office at the time. And I remember you sitting down and saying, like, you know, congratulations on the grant, da, 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 we're happy to have you. And here are some things that came up as we were reviewing your grant. Like, there's these financial things that we saw we were kind of concerned about, we want to help you work on. There is this sort of some stuff happening on your board that we have some questions about, like, how can we help you with that? And I remember being struck by this idea that, wow, this person like gave me money, but they're also going to help me figure out all these challenges that I have that as a new ED, I was just like making it up as I went along, right? And like, here is somebody who's not just going to give me money, but it's going to give me training on financials and help our team understand how to do that, is going to potentially coach me or help me through like figuring out these really, sticky challenges on the board. And you know, from that moment on, like Dimple and Proteus and the team really became allies to me as I moved the work forward. And so, you know, fast forward, and the other significant meeting that Dimple and I had was right after the 2016 election. And I was totally like overwhelmed, you know, for so many reasons, both because of work, but because of, you know, questioning everything I thought was true about the country that I lived in. And Dimple sat me down and she said, this is the time to ask for what you need. And, you know, I'm going to help you put this work in front of funders who might fund you. I'll help you make that, like, I'll help to try and make this as streamlined as possible because I know you're totally overwhelmed. And she's like, but you need to think about like what it is you want, how much it's going to cost, and just put it out there into the world. And I was like, okay, like I'm going to do that. So I sat down, you know, a couple days later, I wrote this like 2 or 3 page thing that was like, here are the 6 places I think we can add value. You know, here's what I think it's going to cost. And it was like $1.7 million. And Dimple took that and shared it with some funders. And not only did she, in her role at General Services Foundation, support that work, but at least like 2 or 3 other funders came through from that initial conversation that Dimple had. And again, it was like building the credibility and the momentum in those early months around our work that then led to, you know, within 6 months, raising that $1.7 million. I share those stories, one, because Dimple's awesome and clearly like invested in the work. But I think that also shows how we, as, you know, started with Dimple's leadership, and I think has and hopefully has carried forward under our leadership, under my leadership, that's sort of the way that we work with our grantees, right? It's not just about cutting a check and like talk to you in 11 months when it's time to renew this grant. It's like, what can we do to help you? Here's the things that we think you're doing great. Here's where we can move the work forward. Tell us what you need. And that is, I'm finding, you know, pretty unique in philanthropy, but so important, especially to communities who are facing so many crises, to know that we have allies and to know that we can be allies to our grantees.
Oh, I'm so moved. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's like at the heart of what it is that the Rise Together Fund does. And I mean, I would say, I hope I'm not speaking for you, but at the heart of why I imagine both you and I work in philanthropy is that we understand our roles to be in partnership or to be of service.
Sure.
Right? When we approach our work that way, and when we are in partnership with our grantees and when we're of service to them, I think it just amplifies the power of our funding in ways that we cannot even capture. Because a check is a check, right? A check is like, it could be from anybody. I mean, I that 2016 conversation, I just remember, like, I wanted you to leave our conversation with like a huge invitation to think like bigger than you've ever been invited to think before, right? Because I feel like so often we're just having to like think and dream about what can we do within the constraints of what we have in terms of resources. And I just wanted you to have an invitation to take up a lot of space, because I knew like we, like in this time, we're just going to need your leadership. I mean, to me, like the power at the heart of donor collaboratives is that partnership, right? And when it works well, it's like we have that partnership with our funders. I remember feeling that, you know, at the Rise Together Fund, where like there was that partnership, but then we also get to turn around and have it with our grantees.
Thank you, Dimple, for doing this conversation with me. It's so great to continue this partnership that we've had. And really, thank you, our colleagues at Proteus. I mean, you know, from the very beginning, the way that Proteus has invested in and supported this work, when, you know, before it was sexy, when we were scraping the barrel trying to keep things going, and then, you know, when it is sexy, and knowing that like our time in the spotlight will continue to ebb and flow, but knowing that having a deep commitment to democracy means supporting those who are really at times the most vulnerable is really critical. So thank you for doing this together with us.
Thank you, Shireen, for inviting me into this conversation. I think, you know, we don't get to do this often enough, both to kind of take our different pieces and put them together and see what they add up to, and then just to reflect and share our kind of gratitude for each other. I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful to Proteus for paying attention to the vulnerabilities in our democracy. Over the long run, like I think when the story about Proteus is written, it's going to be that. It's going to be like, this was a funder that really paid attention to things that others were not paying attention to, built capacity where it needed to be built, and always kind of at the core understood that we can't actually have a healthy functioning democracy if racial justice is not at its core. I'm grateful for the time that I sort of got to be part of the Proteus team, and so grateful to kind of continue to be connected to it.